I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
Yeah, we're resilient. We're going to keep fighting. Not going to hang our heads, obviously. We know where we're at. We know we need to pick it up. But, at the end of the day, we're just going to keep grinding. I know we're probably getting worn out, but, what else can we do? Keep fighting, keep working.
Tell you something, kid. Everybody gets one chance to do something great. Most people never take the chance, either because they're too scared or they don't recognize it when it spits on their shoes. This is your big chance. You shouldn't let it go by.
It sucks. Like I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I just flat out stink right now. I don't know what it is. I mean, when you're going good, it's good. When you're going bad, it's pretty bad. So
they removed your entire body. You're nothing but a head now.
What?
They said that there was enough fat in your head to rebuild your new body. So they got scientists in the other room working on it.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
If they win,
yeah,
you can make a definitive conclusion. But
if
they lose or if they're struggling or if they go down 2-1 or 3-2, everybody's going to say, now smart isn't there. And that's something you're going to have to acknowledge. I mean, it's just frustrating.
Ben Simmons, the baseball pass. And Smart's got it! And the ball game is over!
Smart is all over Harden, who does not like it. Little pusher and shoving. And Harden knocks Smart down, and it's called for another foul!
More than anything else, Gordon Hayward becoming the true number two option. If that happens, because of play, not because of necessity or whatever, because of play, he's becoming that true number two deadly scorer that he used to be, then yeah, I think they're in pretty good shape, and I can kind of buy into a little bit of what Kyrie was saying.
I think we'd be in this position, ain't you jealous? We'd suck like the Pistons, that's what they would tell us.
Rebuilding's long, see what Philly's done? You'll be mincemeat, son, when the big three's gone.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, final hour of the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen in Providence on Easter Sunday. We're getting back into the Boston Bruins real quick. Christian Yelich, Milwaukee Brewers, okay.
Yeah.
He has 13 home runs, I believe, in 22 games. He's on pace for 95 home runs.
Do it.
Through 22 games.
That's amazing.
It's amazing what this guy's doing.
Quickly, though.
He's going to cool off.
Yeah.
But he was the MVP last year. I mean, this guy's legit.
That's special.
Yeah. Okay. So the Boston Bruins will play game 6 today in Toronto, 3 p.m. Eastern time. They're down 3-2. Ben, is this series over? Are the Bruins done today?
Yes. Yes, the series is over. Yes, the Bruins are done today.
How confident are you in that selection, in that prediction?
80%.
Okay. I don't think they're done today. I think they get to game 7. I think they lose in game 7.
Maybe. I've just only seen one good game out of them this series so far.
Yeah.
In 5 games, I've only seen one good game from
them.
Even
the one they won in game 4, they were teetering.
It wasn't a great game for them.
Yeah.
Game 2 is the only game where they looked like the better team. It's true. Game 2 is the only game. And they have not been able to recapture that since. They haven't been able to lay the hits down on them because they can't catch them. Top line has done minimal. I don't know where you would be confident in this team when you've seen 5 games played and you go, only one of them did they look like a good team.
No, I'm not confident. I don't feel confident. I don't feel good. I'm not picking.
I think you're just going with the math, right? 2-4-6. They win the even games.
Yeah, I'm kind of following trends.
Yeah.
I'll get to that more in a second. What has shocked me about the Boston Bruins is this. We talked all regular season long, Celtics Bruins. The Celtics were not engaged. The Celtics were inconsistent. The Celtics didn't put forth the effort we thought the regular season deserved.
Mm-hmm.
The Bruins, on the other hand, unlike the Celtics, were getting along great. There were no chemistry issues. They were playing hard. They were having fun. They were winning games. and we compared the two, and oh, the Bruins, what a relief.
They're finding ways to win when they had some of their top flight guys out.
They were a breath of fresh air, the Boston Bruins.
Yes.
And then what happened, now I get it. The Maple Leafs in hockey are probably better than the Pacers are in the NBA, but
oh, definitely.
This is a situation where the Bruins, based on what I've seen, have essentially turned into the Celtics. Inconsistent. Game on, game off. Game on, game off. They need to lose to get fired up to play well in the next game. Then they have some production and they win. They need a guy to get cross-checked, one of their guys to get cross-checked in the head to get fired up to play well and to have a physical game where they win. That was essentially the Celtics' problem. On and off, whatever. This is, we'll figure it out. You know, we're in the mood tonight. We're not in the mood. We're in the mood. No, this is the playoffs, and I can't believe this Bruins team has become this. Meanwhile, the Celtics are cruising. We'll get back to them in a minute. I can't believe this Bruins team has come to this. I have Brad Marchand making comments like, after game one, I thought it'd be easier than it was, close quote.
Yeah, I don't like that.
What kind of comment is that?
Yeah.
What did you think it was going to be, Brad? This is the playoffs. This is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You went to seven games with them last year, and they got better.
Yeah.
And
what
you didn't.
Think? I thought it was going to be what?
I underestimated Toronto. I didn't quite think they were this good, partly because how many non-Bruins games am I watching of Toronto? Really? How many? Maybe three?
You watch three Maple Leafs games?
No.
I mean, come
I
on.
Said maybe.
Okay.
And the answer is no, I didn't.
No.
But I didn't think they were quite this good, but they got better. They're a team that actually got better. You're a team that kind of stood pat. One guy you can look at in this series and say, you don't really have a lot of blame here, is Tuukka Rask. The one guy
yes.
we were looking at is going, you're the fulcrum of this series.
Yes.
You know, as you go, this team goes. Well, he's been fine. He's been the least of your worries.
Yep.
That first line has been a big concern, has been a worry.
Yeah.
There's talk about them being the best line in hockey. Well, they're playing like dog crap right now.
Has Tuukka Rask stolen a game for you? No.
No, he hasn't. He has not.
He has not stood on his head. He has not stolen a game.
But he hasn't lost you a game.
No, that's not what he does. He doesn't really stand on his head, and I think that's why I always am down on him helping them win a championship, because
yeah.
I think you need some of that to win a Stanley Cup championship.
Yep. You need a little bit of that Tim Thomas love from 11.
Yeah, I mean, look, was Tim Thomas a better goalie, more talented goalie? Probably not.
No.
But he
no,
had
not.
Some other factor, some other component to him
yep.
that allowed him to, in these kinds of situations, playoff situations, rise to the challenge and get hot and do what he needed to do. He's not as talented as Tuukka Rask.
There's very few goalies who are as talented
you know,
as
I'll
Tuukka
say
Rask.
Tim Thomas, though, did play on an Olympic team. He was the backup, but he played. So he wasn't some guy.
No, he wasn't a Jag.
No.
He was a good goalie.
Yeah. Especially for those 2 years there, 2010, 2011, in that range.
Tuukka's just been better. I mean, far more consistent, a lot longer stretch of being a very good goaltender. But you're right. Tim Thomas had that magic that
year.
Yes,
he did.
He had that magic up his sleeve. He had some bad losses, too. Don't forget that. There were some bad losses in there. But when it came time to it, he stole you some games. He stood on his head to make sure you won an important game. I'd love to see Tuukka steal this game. I would love it.
Oh, there'd be nothing better than that. That's the best way
it.
You can win.
But I just don't have faith in the guys in front of him.
Is he playing in this game for you, Coach Kitchen?
It's a toss-up. I could understand playing him because he hasn't proven that he shouldn't be playing. But at the same time, I'd look at him and be like, you know what? You've been fine. You haven't been amazing. I'm throwing the other guy out there, and maybe that sparks everyone in front of him. Maybe that sparks him and shows, hey, no one's untouchable here. He's even been playing fine, but I can't replace you guys.
You'd have to have the temperature of the room. You'd have to know how your leaders feel or would feel about that kind of move.
You have to have confidence in yourself and confidence in your abilities, Cassidy, because he's not been very good at all
in this
series.
No, he's good in game four. I thought he was good and created an offensive spark when he shifted some of the lines, but there's been too many of that, too many shifts of the lines, and I haven't liked what he's done, and the matchups have been off. But just getting back to Rask,
yeah,
I'm with you. This guy, and it hasn't been his fault. It hasn't been.
Yeah.
But I'm changing it. I'm changing it up.
Yeah, maybe that guy steals you one. Maybe Halak steals you one.
I think the forwards need something different to think about. I think they need a spark. I think the defensemen need a spark. I think this guy can offer you a spark, especially if you feel like he's right there skill-wise with Tuukka. Maybe not as good.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you're not looking for the best players. You're looking for the right ones, Herb.
Yep.
And in this case, that might be it. I'm going with it, and I'm also following the trends. And again, Tuukka hasn't been the problem, but I'm following the trends. In 2012, they were down 3-2, the Bruins were to Washington, lost. In 2013, down 3-2 to the Blackhawks in the Cup Finals, lost. In 2014, down 2-1 to the Canadiens in that series, lost. In 2017, down 2-1, and then 3-1, and then 3-2 to the Senators, lost. And then in 2018, down 2-1, and 3-1 to the Lightning, lost 4-1. And then, by the way, the only other time Tuukka Rask was in the playoffs, they blew a 3-0 lead and lost to Philly. I'm following the trends. He's never come back from being down 1-0. He's been good, hasn't been great.
No.
I don't think he's irreplaceable. You're switching up all the other lines. Why not make the move? You create a spark for not just the defense and the goaltending situation, but the forwards. Maybe they feel more urgency with another guy in there. I think you do it, and you don't look back. That's what I think you do. And it hasn't been Tuukka's fault. I'm sorry, Tuukka. But you've had a big sample. You've had enough opportunities. I'm doing it. I'm seeing what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to blame him if he makes that decision. It shouldn't be the decision that wins or loses this series. But, man, everyone in front needs to play much better. Krug, ugh, what the hell has he done?
Well, he's been sort of a zombie since he got hit the other night. Jake DeBrusk, he's been basically invisible.
Yep.
He got hit. He was the guy that got cross-checked in the head. Auston Matthews, on the other hand,
he's
stepped up for them.
Outstanding.
So that's awful. By the way, real quick, Auston Matthews, born in California, grew up in Arizona.
Okay.
The NHL really could use more Auston Matthews because that is an American from non-hockey states making it in the NHL. That'd be good for the league.
Where in California?
I think he was born in the Bay Area and then moved when he was very young to the Phoenix area and grew up watching the Coyotes.
Mm. I've been to one Coyotes game.
In Arizona?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was Gretzky's first game at home as coach for the Coyotes.
Wayne Gretzky has been bigger for American hockey than really anybody else.
Maybe, without a doubt.
Maybe not anybody else, but he's been huge for when he went to L.A.
No, he's been bigger for American hockey than anybody.
I mean, that's huge.
Without a doubt. I mean, nearly as many people were watching when Bobby Orr played.
No.
There weren't nearly as many teams. Gretzky was far more palatable for the fan that didn't really know anything about what was going on in the sport, which, let's be honest, is most. Most people. So, you know, he brought attention that Orr didn't bring. Now, I'm not saying he's a better player than Orr. I would take Orr over Gretzky. But, Gretzky, without a doubt, brought more eyeballs, American eyeballs, to the sport than anyone else. And it's not even close.
I don't think they're dead today. I think they can win this game. I think they lose in seven.
Fine, just two deads. Trends.
Yeah, two deads. It wouldn't surprise me. Would it surprise me more if they win this game or lose this game? It would surprise me more if they lose this game.
Really?
Yeah, I think they win this game. I'm going to trust they respond. I think they have enough moxie to do that. I just don't think they can win the two straight that they need to win.
I just can't see them. The way they beat down this team in Game 2, the way they frustrated the Maple Leafs in Game 2, they haven't been able to replicate any of that, even in the Game 4 win. So
I don't know if they physically can.
They can't because they can't catch them. They just can't catch them. You can't hit what you can't catch, and you can't frustrate them if you're not hitting them. And that's exactly what you needed to do to win that game, and that's what it looked like. Okay, you've now figured out the blueprint to this series. You have to be more physical with them. You have to push them around. You have to get them frustrated to make bad, dumb decisions. And you haven't been able to do that since. You've had three games since that to do that, and you haven't been able to replicate that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't trust them to all of a sudden figure that out and snap out of it.
We don't need to start talking about this yet, but then it goes into the offseason, and what do you do now if they lose in the first round? I'm not going to talk about that yet.
No.
I think they can win. I think they can find a way to get it done. They need to what worries me is that they lost the game where Tuukka played really well, and that's burdensome to me.
Yeah,
those are the games you need to win. And honestly, Ben, I don't know what kind of game. You could tell me what you think. I don't know what kind of game I'm rooting for. Obviously, I'd love for them to go up 4-0, but is that realistic?
No.
If they get out to a fast start like they did in Game 4, well, they haven't been great in that situation because they almost coughed up that game twice.
Yep.
If they grind it out and it's more of a low-scoring affair, well, that's the one they couldn't win in Game 5.
Yep.
You want them to get a lead. I don't know what I'm rooting for. High-scoring, grind it out. They've lost. Well, they won the high-scoring game. I guess I want to see offense.
I just want
room for error.
I just want to see physicality.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do to beat this team.
You're right. That's where they look their best.
You know,
and they're physical.
Regardless of what the final score is, you know, if it's a high-scoring game, low-scoring game, the only way you're going to beat this team is to be physical and slow them down.
Yeah.
That's all I'm looking for. It's just to put some bodies on the ice. Put some bodies on the ice, frustrate them, put them on tilt like you did. You know, Tavares is not a guy you see go on tilt, but you saw it in Game 2.
Yeah.
You saw him, you know, being a nuisance to Rask. And obviously you saw what Kadri did. That's what you need to do to this team, because right now they have all the confidence in the world, and they should have all the confidence in the world, because they have outplayed you in 4 out of the 5 games, even though they've lost 2 of them.
It does feel like with all the mixing and matching that Bruce Cassidy has done on those bottom 2 lines, it does feel a little bit like the Patriots early in the season when the defense is trying to find their way in jail. I don't like that. I don't like that feeling.
Yeah.
Because it feels, like you said, he's operating with a lack of conviction. Like,
yep,
they're trying to figure it out. This is not the time to figure stuff out in the playoffs. You need to know what you're rolling out there. And I don't like that indecision that's coming through. Now, if they can find a way to win today, maybe the first line just has a day and they can take over this game and put in a couple early and just get away with a win and then take your chances in Game 7. But I don't know. I don't love – it's hard to feel confident. And the other thing, too, I'll say, and you're going to laugh or whatever.
I will.
The other thing that I don't love, and this is a reason why, and it didn't work out. It was no problem this year when the Patriots played the Chargers. But I always get, it feels like Toronto is due for one against you. You know what I mean? Like, they've lost a few tough series to you. They lost to you last year in 7 games. They lost in 2013, that heartbreaker. Remember that in Game 7? They were down 4-1, the Bruins.
Yeah.
With like a few minutes to go, and they scored 3 ridiculous goals. They lost. It feels like the Maple Leafs owe you one, and that it's going to come back around. I don't love that feeling. Now, who cares? It doesn't really mean anything.
No, but just, I know what you're saying. I do know what you're saying.
Give me a good feeling.
Sometimes when you're going up against someone consistently, you feel like you finally figured out the equation to beat them. You're far more confident, even though you really, when you look at the past, recent past, and you go, they beat us every time.
Yeah.
But we've finally gotten it.
You know what's a
we get it now,
right? And here's a more specific example of that. And I think this is a big reason the Bruins got burned in Game 5, when they had 3 power play opportunities and couldn't convert on any of them.
Yeah,
that almost always comes back around. You know, you're going to get some calls that go against you if you're +3 power plays. They couldn't score on any of them. That was a bad sign in that game.
They're so indecisive out there, too. I mean, just there's times when you're like, just shoot.
Yeah.
Please just shoot, and let's just see what happens. Maybe a rebound goes your way, and you have an opportunity here. But they're not creating enough opportunities for themselves by taking chances. They're playing too cautious, and it's driving me bananas.
I wonder, too, if, and I know you thought that was an interference call on Rask.
I did.
I wonder, though, because I think the only penalty.
Even though I don't think Rask saves that regardless.
The only penalty that the Maple Leafs were called for to that point, I think, was a too many men on the ice, which is indisputable. Wasn't a judgment call.
Yeah.
I think that was the only penalty. I wonder if that call that wasn't reversed was because they knew that they had given the Bruins some penalties. They were +2 still in penalties. I wonder if that factored in a little bit.
I don't know.
A little bit. If it was sort of a judgment call, he was a little bit out of the blue, near the edge of the blue. It wasn't enough to overturn. I thought it was an interference call by the book, but they didn't call it.
Because he didn't.
I was surprised.
Who was it in front? I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
Hyman?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was Hyman. You know, he was hitting the defender, and he goes and, you know, kind of gives a little tap to the defender and goes back into Rask. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty clear cut what happened there. But like I said, I don't think it really mattered anyway, because even if he didn't touch Rask there, Rask wasn't getting that.
Tic-tac-toe.
Rask was not getting it. It was just bing, boom, done.
Well, and the second goal was very much like the first goal, and he couldn't get to that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're right. But that doesn't mean the call shouldn't have, if that was the call,
no,
it should have been
made. Right. You're right. You're right. You're right. It you should make the call regardless. That shouldn't have an effect on it. The rule is the rule, one way or the other. And I don't understand how you come to that conclusion, but they did.
It must have been, like I said, he was close to being out of the blue paint, so they felt like it was too close to overturn. I mean, that's the only explanation I got.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, that was a tough blow. The Bruins had their chances. They have to capitalize on those. If they get a power play today, they've got to score.
Yeah.
I mean, the utmost urgency on the power play. Put the first line out there. Keep the first line out there. I don't care. They've got to score. But, yeah, I'm not that confident. It wouldn't surprise me if they lost today, but it would surprise me more. Well, I should say it wouldn't surprise me if they lost today, but I still expect them to win. I expect them to show the fight and the moxie and get it to a game seven. I think they lose there. But I'm not saying I'm not picking them to win this series at this point.
Yeah.
Even if they win today, I'm not picking them.
No, you shouldn't. They do not look like a team that is even capable of doing any damage in the second round. No matter who they played.
Especially with...
They just look bad right now.
By the way, is there a comp to what Tampa Bay did? Tied for the record in regular season wins and then get swept out of the first round. Not just lose, swept.
No.
I can't think of anything like it.
No. I can't. And I've tried to think of it, and there's nothing quite as bad as that. That collapse is really bad. There's been other, you know, there's been eight seeds beating
ones,
of course. But not that we're running away with the league the way Tampa Bay was running away with the league. You know, there's been... Columbus is a good team.
Yeah.
You know, they shouldn't have been in the position they were in, but they were. But, man, I've never seen an embarrassment like that before. There is no... I mean...
Swept!
Honestly, the only gomp I could think of is, you know, and you're up 3-0 in a series, and then you end up blowing the entire series when all you need to do is win one game. One more. And there's been a couple of those. Obviously, the Bruins were on the wrong end of one against Philly.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox were on the right end of one against New York.
But that's
but not it's
the
not
same
the same thing.
No.
No, I know. And that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to draw other
You've
examples
at least
out.
Won three games, and then you lose in seven.
Yeah.
This is getting swept, dominated. You were the best team in the league. All these firepower.
By a mile.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close. You were dominating other teams. You were dominating the league. And you came out and were just dead from moment one. They ran away from you.
Incredible.
I've never seen anything quite like it.
All right, we're going to go back to the Celtics when we get back. They're game four in Indy today. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
It's pretty peaceful. You know, I think that, you know, I'm just happy to be able to be part of a lineage of great players that have put on some unbelievable performances, you know, here in the TD as well as in the old garden. And, you know, it's really special to know that, you know, the fans here, they're rooting us on and, you know, they want everything to be perfect. And, you know, it's just not the reality of the game, but we do our best to go out there and really lay it all on the line. And, you know, we throw ourselves into the game and we hope for some great results. So just got to have some just honest resolve. But like, it felt good. It felt good to be here in this position, playing in this arena. You know, it's just been a long journey from having those two knee surgeries and watching the team last year and finally getting a chance to lace them up for the Boston Celtics in the NBA playoffs. It's nothing like it.
So there's Kyrie Irving, Mr. Boston. There he is. So, look, everything
was that from his press conference or from that
game
weird
two
commercial?
Post-game press conference.
That weird commercial with his dad from the beginning of the season.
Nope. Game two press conference after the game. This is a man, I've said it all along, I don't think he's leaving. He said that the Garden, it was great to be there, the fans felt good playing in this arena. This is a guy, now again, it's all roses right now.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens in the next series when they're down 2-1.
Well, he's got what he's wanted. The playoffs are here.
Yes.
And he's lived up to the hype.
He's backed up everything he said to this point.
So far, which is a little bit easier to do against the Pacers than it will be against the Bucks or Raptors or even 76ers or Nets.
It'll be the Bucks next, I think, right?
Yeah.
Unless the Nets win? No. It'll be the Bucks next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no faith in this team going up against the Bucks. Well, I shouldn't say no. I have little faith in this team because of what they're not going to be able to claw back into games the way they've been able to claw back into games against Indiana. Milwaukee will step on their throat.
Yeah.
Milwaukee will have them down and they'll finish them.
Yep.
You know, they haven't looked outstanding in this series. Now, having said that, Indiana is a very good defensive team, even without Victor Oladipo. They're a very good defensive team. They know how to play. They just don't have scorers. And it's been frustrating to watch that side of it. They need to be a little more consistent. They need to have more urgency than they've had in these games. Having said that, they've done a great job of what they were incapable of doing this regular season, which was come back into games. You know, get down big, 10, 12, 14 points, and then claw back and then take that victory away from the other team that seemingly assuredly had the game.
Okay, that's fair. The one thing I'm going to do, though, is the same thing I've done to this point. I will wait until I see some games against the Bucks before I become concerned. I'm going to give the Celtics the benefit of the doubt because that's what I did going into the playoffs. Again, I know it's only the Pacers without their best player, but they've won all three. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. They lost to worse teams during the regular season when they were in their malaise.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt going forward, and I will definitely not say they have no chance. I will expect them to win games and be competitive in the games. Maybe they don't win. I don't think they'll get down necessarily and have to claw their way back necessarily. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that we've truly seen a different team and that we're going to see a different result against a good team in a playoff series. I mean, this is a team. Let's hold on. This is a team, the Bucks, that they just beat in a playoff series last year. And who did they add? Bogdanovic? Brognovic? Somnovic? Like, it doesn't matter. They have the Celtics have their pieces from last year. They have their pieces now from this year. They're playing well. They look like they are in sync. Everybody looks comfortable with their role. And, oh, yeah, Marcus Smart isn't in.
That's a big difference. Smart not being there is a big difference for this team. If for some reason he can come back in that next series, which I highly doubt if he can, that's a little bit of a game changer there because that's a bulldog.
Yeah.
That's something they are missing in this series. You know, a defensive closer, defensive stopper. Kyrie's been good. He's been very good defensively. I didn't expect that.
No.
And he's been good in other areas too. Grabbing up rebounds, getting other players involved. You know, there's a reason why his assist numbers have gone up in the playoffs when you'd kind of expect it to go the other way during the playoffs. And he's been the closer and the killer for this team. He's been awesome. Awesome to watch. But Smart is incredibly valuable to this team because he doesn't care about the offensive side in terms of he doesn't need to get his. He can affect the game like no other player on this team can. And his energy is infectious.
Yes.
When he gets out there and he's diving all over the floor, grabbing up loose balls, starting fast breaks because of it, that has a big impact on this team. And they are missing that element right now.
And he's just going to come in as of now and join the party. It's not like he's going to have to save them. They're doing it. They're playing the way they need to play. Let me ask you this. I know your big concern going into a series with the Bucks would be Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that maybe, thank you. Maybe, okay. Maybe.
Thanks, Devin.
Thanks, Deb. Maybe Marcus Smart could check Antetokounmpo. We saw what Patrick Beverley did to Kevin Durant for that one game.
For the one game.
Yeah.
And then what did Durant do the next game? 38.
Yeah. Maybe you can frustrate him, though, a little bit. I mean,
sure. Absolutely. I mean, that is what Marcus Smart is capable of doing. It's certainly frustrating.
Because
you,
as good as Antetokounmpo is, I don't think he's the scorer Kevin Durant is.
No, he's not. He can't shoot the way Durant can shoot.
Yeah.
But he is a freight train going through the lane. You know, if Durant had LeBron's body, that's what you get. You know what I mean? That's what you get with Giannis. If Durant had LeBron's body.
Yeah.
Oh, Devin, remember how we just said, hey, good job, bud?
You dope.
Thanks for the 2017-18 roster.
Yeah, giving a little comparison, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Explain it, then.
Well, Jabari Parker's no longer on this team. They've got Xavier Munford, former URI star, listed. I don't know how many minutes he played for them. Thon Maker no longer on this team. Dellavedova, I don't think, is still. Is he on this team still?
He's on Cleveland.
The Bucks are much better than they were last year. They're okay. A team that's figured it out. Giannis is a player who's continually taken the next step year after year into becoming a more complete player, and he is awesome.
No, he's the MVP this year.
The other problem you're going to have, and it's a similar problem you've been having in this series, is, and what did I tell you before the playoffs started? Rebounding. Rebounding is a problem. It allows Indiana to stay in these games. It allows them to take a lead sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they get second chances.
Look, if they're going to play down to the competition, it's annoying. But if they're going to win every game, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and I will continue to do so going into the next round until they go down 0-2.
Because
they're going to be in Milwaukee to start that series.
Yep.
It's going to be a different situation. This core, now I know it's just, it's a play, it's a road game, but this core has never played without home court advantage. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? They had home court the whole time last year.
Yeah.
They have it in this series. Mm-hmm. They've never had to start a series on the road. That is different than what they're used to. Tatum, Brown.
Yeah, Kyrie has, though.
Kyrie has.
Horford has, and Hayward has.
Sure. But those guys I just mentioned are key. Scary Terry.
No.
He had his best moments against the Bucks, right? Bledsoe's back.
He scares me because he's just going to try and do everything.
The wrong
sometimes.
Kind of scary?
Yeah, and same thing with why can't I think of his name?
Celtics?
Just wants to shoot, and he's terrible.
Marcus Morris.
Thank you. Just wants to shoot everything.
Yeah.
Gets in his head, I want to shoot. Yes, yeah. I got the ball.
I feel like I haven't seen him make a shot since February.
Oh, God, I know. It's been brutal. It's been brutal with him, but, he's someone you're going to need in that next series.
Sure.
Because that's a body you're going to need to put
everything.
On to Giannis.
They need, and I'll tell you another guy that would be huge for them against Giannis, Baines down low.
Yes.
It's another guy
Absolutely.
That can take up space. He can defend a little. He can move his feet a little bit. You need him. He can't break his hand. He can't have an injury. He needs to be out there because you'll need everybody to be thrown at Giannis Antetokounmpo, the MVP this year.
Yeah, you're going to need to throw everything you have at them. And I just don't know if you quite have enough anymore. The way this team has played, part of my problem with this team is they have too many options, the Celtics meaning. They have too many offensive options, and it allows people to get cold even though they're, Jaylen Brown, he started off that game on fire.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the end of it and you go, oh, man, you had 11 points in the first quarter, 3-for-3 from three, and, added a dunk. And then you look at the end of the game, what did he finish with, 22, 23 maybe? You got to keep feeding the hot hand, and sometimes they get too far away from that guy, and they're trying to get too many people involved. That sometimes is a recipe for disaster. You need to feed the hot hand and keep going with it. It's what you do with Kyrie, obviously, because he's controlling the ball, but you need to do a little bit more of that with Tatum if he gets going. You need to do a little bit more of that with Jaylen Brown when he gets going. Just continually feed them. And that's sometimes where they spread the ball around too much sometimes, and that's what gets them in trouble.
Is it important that they complete the sweep today?
Sure. I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. I'd like them to obviously finish it off and get some rest and get some more time under their belt. But, if it ends up going five, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
No, as long as nobody gets hurt. I would just assume, see them end it today, everybody healthy, move on. I don't want to play games with Indiana.
Absolutely.
And if somebody gets banged up or tweaks a hammy or something, I don't want to. They can't afford that against the Bucks.
I don't want you to play unnecessary games right now.
No, just end it today.
How many times did we see them go to unnecessary games against the Atlanta Hawks in the first round over the years?
End it today. You've had enough time. It's not going to happen. You've got to end it today. I don't want to. With the way that they played during the regular season, I don't think it would take much, Ben, for some kind of doubt to creep in, some negative feelings to creep in. I don't want to deal with that. We don't have any time or room for that. End it today and move on and focus on the one seed because you're going to be on the road for game one. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
Back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
It's Bon Jovi, right?
It's Bon Jovi.
Ugh, Bon Jovi sucks.
You don't like Bon?
No.
Really?
Oh, brutal.
Okay. Noted. Let's talk to Mike in North Providence. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, this is with regards to the Celtics. You know, I'm perfectly fine with, like, Kyrie and Tatum shooting more, which is exactly, I want to contract shots. And I'm 100% with you as far as, like, riding the hot hand, especially in the case of Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a guy who was hitting literally everything.
Yeah.
It's not at the free throw line.
I was just saying that, saying that to Mark during the commercial break. I was like, the one thing I haven't mentioned was the piss poor free throw shooting,
which is maddening, by the way.
Yeah, but I want to point out something. NBA.com, which showed the stat last year, and then for some reason they brought it, they put it down, they put it back up. They track touches. So these are the points per touch in the NBA since December 1st.
Okay.
You know, and this is the true top 10 for everybody that's over 30 touches a game. Paul George is the leader. Then Kawhi, Klay Thompson, J.J. Redick, Terrence Ross, James Harden, Bojan Bogdanovic, Jaylen Brown, LaMarcus Aldridge, Eric Gordon. You have to have the ball to be able to shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a perfect example of this. This guy has been pouring it in when he has the ball and they play keep away.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example. How much better can he be, and yet he still doesn't get it?
It is very frustrating. Well, it's also because you have guys that are chuck happy. Guys like Rozier and Morris, your favorite player, are chuck happy. And Rozier drives me bananas with it because he's not a good enough three-point shooter to just drive up and then take an early three. That drives me crazy with him. And yes, when Jaylen Brown is, you know, 4 for 4 to start the first and then doesn't get another touch for a while, it drives me crazy because I don't want to see guys like Morris shooting in his stead.
I just want to make a point here. Like, I'm 100% with you there. Jaylen Brown is in the top 10 of all the players in the league of the amount of number of points he scores per touch, right behind James Harden. I mean, it's like, this is the degree of craziness that's going on here, and a lot of it just comes down to confirmation bias. I saw Jaylen miss a shot. Oh, he can't shoot. I saw Marcus Morris hit a shot. Oh, I believe in him.
Mm.
And it's like, this is on Brad. He's the head coach of this team, and it's his job to go and tell exactly what, like, Greg Popovich did to Marcus Morris. It's like, listen, stop shooting.
Yeah.
And tell the other guys, listen, we run plays for our best players, and if you're wide open on a three-pointer, it's perfectly fine for you to shoot, Marcus. But enough of, like, you know, you're going to go and show your dazzling dribbling displays and shoot off-balance bricks. There's no more of that.
Yeah,
but that's on Brad to figure that out.
You're right. It is on Brad, well, and he does need to speak up to them and say, listen, these are the roles to play within this system. This is your role. The only role I really want to see with Marcus Morris next series, is to foul the crap out of Giannis. Be that extra
just to
body.
Be a body in front of him.
Exactly.
I mean, you know what? This is the thing. Like, it's good role play. When James Posey helped this team win a championship, he took 4.6 or 4.8 shots a game in the playoffs and play great defense.
Yep.
That's what somebody like him needs to do.
Yep.
He needs to go out there. He's perfectly good at hitting wide open three.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, take those. Play defense, grab some rebounds. He had a couple of nice offensive rebounds, that sort of stuff. The problem here, and this is where Brad needs to step up and say it, when you're every shot that he, all those off balance twos that he takes, that's a shot taken away from Kyrie. That's a shot taken away from Jason Tatum. That's a shot taken away from Jaylen Brown. That better be a really good shot, or you shouldn't be taking it because we have better people on this team to shoot those than you. And that's what a good coach said.
Yep.
All right.
You're right, Mike.
So here's
he's absolutely right.
Yeah, he is. And I will just expand and say that two things. Number one, he was talking about if you're wide open, Marcus, you can take the shot. Well, I think Marcus Morris is wide open and Brad Stevens wide open might be different.
Yeah.
And the other thing is Posey was the ultimate. I mean, that was a 3-and-D guy to the max. I love James Posey. That's a totally different DNA you're talking about with James Posey to Marcus Morris. You're just
you're
totally
absolutely
different. So to expect that, I think, is unrealistic. I totally agree. That's what he needs to be. He needs to be a guy that can shoot an open three once the other team has essentially forgotten about him and be there to help throw a body on LeBron James, on Giannis. You know, because he's got a good frame. He's athletic.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
So do some of that. But I don't think that he wants to dribble and shoot and score and fill it up.
Yeah, he does. He wants to be something that he's not. Yeah. He has to understand. The role has to be defined clearly for him, and he has to understand that and take it on board. And I think what happened at the beginning of this season, and don't get it twisted, he was very valuable for them at the beginning of the season. He was one of their more consistent players, but that seemed to get into his head to think he's more than he actually is. And you don't need those guys on your team, especially right now.
Let's motor through some of this. The Red Sox, two straight wins
yep.
against the Rays. Did that save their season?
It saved their existence. They were going under. They were folding as a
franchise.
They were
going to move out of Boston.
They were going to cease to be.
Yeah.
They were just going to close up doors. Fenway was going to, they were just going to burn it to the ground, get the insurance money.
You done?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Show's almost
Look,
over, right?
Did it save the season? I think it salvaged the division for right now. I don't think they could have afforded to lose two straight to Tampa
no.
and go down 10.5 or whatever it would have been.
But the shame of it is this is your first series win of the year.
Yeah.
That's not, no bueno. But the good thing is you have another, you know, you have another crack at them next weekend where when the animals escape from the zoo, I get so distracted around here. You know, you have another crack at really winning that series against Tampa Bay next weekend too and at home. And if you do that, you're actually you're in pretty good position.
Yeah, especially considering where they were. I think Mookie Betts needs to continue to hit. This is a winner. You know, I don't think Mookie Betts is some fraud. This is a winner.
No,
this
no,
is a guy
not.
That will figure it out. And I think the same thing about Chris Sale. Now, physically, I think him and Mookie Betts are in different stages, places. But I expect him to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can only go up from where he's been. I think they're going to be
Benintendi's
okay.
starting to get
yes.
the bat going in the
yes.
right direction. I mean, yeah, he obviously had the grand slam. But he also had that big, deep drive to right to drive in the eventual game-winning run.
Okay, breaking news here a little bit. I want to get your opinion real quick.
Yes.
Report, Rick Pitino, Cavaliers have mutual interest.
Good. They both suck.
I would love to see that.
I'd love to see him back in the NBA because I'd love to see him get blown out of the NBA again.
I would love to see it. I don't care if he gets blown out. He's an elite college coach. He's had a ton of success there. Same reason I want to see Saban back in the NFL. I would love to see it. I hope it happens.
I like Saban a lot more than I like Pitino, and I don't really like Saban all that much.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I would still love to see this. Put him on the
mutual
biggest stage
interest.
And see what he can do. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Bury him out in Cleveland, too.
Patriots draft. We got a minute left.
Yes.
What do you want them to do? First round, 32 overall, assuming they make a pick.
I would like to see them take a wide receiver or a tight end, even though I know that's probably not the smartest decision. And
I can't believe you want them to take a wide out at 32 overall.
Yeah, I do. I do. I do. I need to see a little more options for Tom Brady. I need to see Julian Edelman have the ability to get open.
No, I agree with the way they've done it. I don't think it's worth drafting a wideout, especially at 32. If you have a slam dunk pick at number 7,
yep.
and it's just this can't-miss guy,
Julio
then that's
Jones.
Different. Yeah, but not at 32. It's too gray there. I'd rather wait till the third round. I want them to go
trade
defensive
away three
line.
Picks and go get AJ Green.
I would prefer that.
Yeah, there we go.
We'll see. Okay, you got the Celtics at 1, the Red Sox at 2, the Bruins at 3.
Mm.
Happy Easter, Ben Kitchen.
Happy Easter, Mark Dondero.
Thanks, Dev. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.